are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball!
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Per usual, I am your host, Ku Cahill. You can find me on Twitter at Ku Cahill NBA. You can find me over at Detroit Bad Boys, writing articles about the Pistons. You can find my YouTube on YouTube, obviously, at Ku's Ballroom. And like I tell you guys at the beginning of every episode, I was a credentialed media member for the 2019-2020 season, so that kind of makes me a big deal. Today, we got a lot to talk about, I'm going to be honest. I have a lot of things I want to talk about with you guys today. First off, we're going to talk about some breaking news with Dwayne Casey. I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard about it already. But then next, we're going to talk about some things. I got into a little bit of like an argument. Not an argument, but it became a talking point on Twitter today about the Pistons branding. And then also, lastly, I kind of want to talk about something I was talking with my friends about building small market teams. And something I really thought about and something I think the NBA needs to address, or at least something I'm going to throw out to you guys, and then you guys can let me know what you guys think. I'm actually kind of confused about it, but first, let's talk about the breaking news with Dwayne Casey. As I'm sure all of you guys have already heard already, if you guys haven't, I don't know where you guys have been living under a rock or something, but James Edwards tweeted this out. Actually, I don't think he was first. I think Wolves was first, but I saw it through James. He said, "Can confirm the Pistons have extended the contract of head coach Dwayne Casey through 2024. So Dwayne Casey has gotten an extension through 2024. How do I feel about this? Well, you guys know I haven't been the biggest fan of Dwayne Casey. I know like I'm not as high on him as everybody else, like a lot of other people seem to be. But I've said multiple times this is his best season with the Pistons by far. Easily his best season. He's coached this team really hard. His players play really hard for him. They're in a lot of games. Like before they just started like just to be honest, tanking these last like 15 games. Before then, they were playing really hard and playing close to the wire in almost every game they played. They only had like a few stinkers before this like tank job they started doing. And even when the tank job, there's been a few games where we're like, dude, come on, let's take it easy, take your foot off the gas. We're playing a little too hard, getting too close to winning this game. So he definitely gets a lot of credit for that, for having his team show up on a nightly basis. Another thing that you had to give Dwayne Casey credit for this season, the emergence of Sadiq Bey. Well, I don't know if you can say emergence, actually, because they're rookies, but just the development of Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, Saben Lee even Josh Jackson, who, by the way, I had one of you guys tweet me and say Josh Jackson had a bad month the past month, and I that's actually not true. I tweeted out about how well he was playing before he suffered this injury. He's dealing with something with his tooth or something that he had to get a surgery or whatever on it. So before he got that injury, he was actually playing really well. So like I have it for you guys right here. So before he missed these games, ended up missing games with injury, etc. From March 31st to April 24th, that is a 15-game sample, by the way. He was averaging 15.9 points, 2.4 assists, 3.9 rebounds on 45% from the field and 38% from deep. So he was actually playing really well. And I think that's been the story with Josh Jackson anyways. When he's healthy, he's played really well. But anyway, I'm getting off the point. Josh Jackson even, Saben Lee, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, you can even say Frank Jackson as well. Killian Hayes looks better when he's came back. Jeremy Grant, you can even give him some credit for Jeremy Grant, though I don't like to give too much credit to the coach for that. I feel like that takes away from Jeremy Grant's how much hard work he's put in to become where he's become. But definitely you have to give some credit to Dwayne Casey for that. So there's a lot of things that you can look at and be like, yeah, this has something to do with Dwayne Casey. Because before the Pistons hired him, everyone knew the main thing about him was the fact that he was supposed to be this big development guy. Like in Toronto, they have this great developmental system. So he's going to bring that over to the Pistons. And so far, I don't think you can really say his first 2 years and hold that against him. As much as I'm not afraid to criticize Dwayne Casey, I'm also fair. So I'm not going to hold the first 2 years against him like with Stanley Johnson not panning out or Henry Ellenson. Was Henry Ellenson on the first team he was here? I'm not even sure. Henry Ellenson not panning out or any of these other guys that he didn't really draft pan out. And then also even like you can think about Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown played really well and look what he's doing in Brooklyn. I think you can attribute some of that to Dwayne Casey at least a little bit, I guess. So it's just like everywhere you look, he seems to be getting the most out of players and helping them develop, which is like his main attribute, which is what we were told. And he's done that. So he definitely should be rewarded for that. And I think the main reason that he's gotten this extension is for his performance this season with how he's handled the, what does Torrey Reeves call it? The restoration process. He doesn't want to call it a rebuild. He calls it a restore. The Pistons, like I said, have been in almost every game. They've played extremely hard. Like, I believe I just checked, the Pistons are 17th in the NBA in defensive rating. Now, for a team that's tanking, you wouldn't expect them to be like that's middle of the pack. It's nothing to like go crazy about, but it's also nothing to just look past. This team's supposed to be tanking. This team's supposed to be not good at all, but he has them playing really hard on defense, and it's having them at the middle of the pack. You wouldn't expect like the second worst team in the league to be middle of the pack defensively. You figured they'd just be at the bottom of the league. Now, offense is a different story. They just have a lot of talent on there, and I think that's not really doing Casey's specialty, to be honest. But defensively, he has them playing really hard. And like I've said with everything else, he just has a lot of young players coming through. So I understand why he got rewarded with this. Now, what are my long-term thoughts about this? I am a bit worried about the long-term thoughts because I saw someone tweet this out that it wouldn't be fair that if he just became like this guy, you used Dwayne Casey to develop the young players, and then once you're trying to start winning, you just kick him out the door and then bring someone else in. How would that affect the young guys for it? They've developed this connection with Dwayne Casey. He's the guy who's brought them here. And then when they're ready to win, you kick them out and then just bring someone in who's only utilizing them for their skills and don't really have that personal relationship with. Now, while I certainly can like understand that from like a human aspect and like the emotional aspect, it's kind of like just how the business goes, I guess, because this is my worry. And when the Pistons first hired Dwayne Casey, it was to try to win. They were trying to win games. They were trying to make the playoffs. And my worry at that point was from a lot of Toronto people that were hitting me up is that he just isn't very – his X's and O's aren't the greatest, and he's not very good at adjustments, etc. So basically, I'm not trying to turn this into a hate Dwayne Casey podcast. That's not what I'm doing. I'm congratulating him on the extension, and he deserves it. He deserves to get rewarded for what he's done this year. However, I am a bit nervous about what's going to happen when they decide to start winning, because I'm nervous about Dwayne Casey being that guy. And while that person, whoever it was that tweeted, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting your name or forgetting who it was, but whoever it was that tweeted that whole thing about how messed up it would be if you just fired him after he developed these guys and built these personal relationships with, well, you know, it's either you do that, you fire him and bring someone in who can take you to the next step, or you risk, whatever happened in Toronto happening again. Now, someone could say, well, Toronto only lost to LeBron when Dwayne Casey's there. Fair enough. But they had their meltdowns in the playoffs multiple times on offense. And a lot of people said that was due to Dwayne Casey. So I'm just saying that I think it's something to be, like, monitoring. I don't know. I'm not completely sold on Dwayne Casey being a long-term coach for the Pistons. I guess he could get his chance. I guess I have no problem with him getting a chance to do so. I just don't think that the Pistons should really avoid that. Like, however you guys were talking about this on Twitter, I don't think they should be trying to avoid firing him or facing that reality that he may just be good coach for this team and this time, but not really the best coach for whenever the Pistons decide to start winning, which is fine. I think that's fine. I mean, he's getting up there in age as well. I mean, I think he might retire after this extension is over with anyways, within 2024. And will the Pistons be ready to start trying to win in 2024? I mean, you'd hope so. That's how many seasons? It's 21, 22 season, 22, 23 season, 23, 24. What is that, four seasons? Three seasons, four seasons? You think that they would be ready to start winning by that point. So who knows? Whatever. But me personally, I'm happy he got the extension. He deserves it for what he did this year. But I think I'm a little hesitant for long-term, him being the long-term coach for this team. I think the Pistons should monitor it and should not be afraid to pull the trigger on someone else when that time comes. But like I said, congratulations to Dwayne Casey. He earns it. And that's all really I got to say right now about that. Let me know what you guys think about Dwayne Casey being given this extension, however, not hired, but given this extra few year extension into 2024. Let me know what you guys think about that. And coming up, like I told you guys, we're going to talk about some of the Pistons branding thing. I talked about it a little bit on yesterday's podcast with the mailbag, but it really kind of blew up on Pistons Twitter today because like the podcast caused a bunch of like arguments going on, like whether the Pistons need a branding, what's the issues with the branding, etc., etc. So I'll just touch on that, what happened today, and give even more of my opinion on it. And then also, like I said, we're going to talk about how hard it is for a small market team to build a team, build a winning team, and something that's like popped into my head that I think I'm worried about with the Pistons. I'm really worried about with all small market teams. I think the NBA has to at least think about like trying to help them at all. It's just something that popped into my head. I talked about it with my friends. I think you guys will enjoy it, but before we get to that, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, Rock Auto. You ever need a part for your car, head to the store, go through a ton of confusing questioning, just for one of the workers to tell you that they don't have the part that you're looking for? I know I have. That's why you should avoid all these problems. Rock with another one of our sponsors, rockauto.com. Find whatever part you're looking for on your computer or in your hand by using rockauto.com. Don't worry about having to create an account or make a membership. Just head over to rockauto.com and start shopping. rockauto.com always offers the lowest and most reliable prices. Head over to rockauto.com right now and see all the available parts for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, make sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So like I said, we're going to talk a little bit more about the whole branding, the Pistons needing a rebrand, or just their creativity and their jerseys, their color scheme, their gear, their fan, like everything to do with their brand. We're going to talk a little bit about that because, like I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, one of you guys asked me, Koo, what do you think about the Pistons branding? Do you think they need a rebrand? And I completely ripped them to shreds. And I stand by that. They absolutely have one of the worst branding in the league. I absolutely hate it. I hate their logo. I hate their color scheme. I hate everything about it. So then today, just giving you guys like a rundown of how this all started today. So today, my podcast got tweeted out and everyone started talking about it. And I think you guys know him very well. He has his own podcast. Nick Henkel tweeted out that the Pistons do not need a rebrand. It blows my mind that this is a topic of discussion every single day. Then one of you guys added me underneath this tweet to let me see that he said this. So I just basically said, listen, he's like, Nick's capable of having his own opinion. He can feel that way. I don't really care. That's not going to change how I feel about it. So then I just let you guys know, like, he can feel how he wants, but logo is trash. The color scheme, I really don't like it anymore. The jerseys have been trash for years. It's just everything about this branding, it's just awful. I'm sorry. Like, I think the main argument I kept getting at, and then, like I said, I forgot to tell you guys this part. After that, it, like, kind of blew up all over Pistons Twitter, and everyone was just talking about, like, the Pistons branding. Do they need this? Do they need that? What do they like? What don't they like? Whatever. And the main thing I saw that was supporting, like, what the Pistons have currently going on with their branding is basically only tied to history. And there's another thing, actually. There's another point that they keep bringing up. I'll get to that soon. But with the whole history thing, we can only talk about the past so much, man. Like, we got to let go of the past. For me, I'm 23 years old, okay? I'm pretty young. And the Pistons have even younger viewers, obviously. I'm not the youngest, like, guy in Pistons Twitter or Pistons community anymore. Like, I'm still rather young. But there's people younger than me. They haven't even watched the Going to Work team. Like, I don't have great memories of the Going to Work team. I barely can remember a lot of stuff. I'm sure they can barely remember anything. And for damn sure can't remember anything but the Bad Boys. So, I mean, you can only keep going throwing back stuff or trying to use the excuse of we're throwing back or we're keeping ties to the Bad Boys or the keeping ties to the Going to Work team for so long. Like, the history thing is just boring. I'm sorry. You can't keep doing that, especially for a fan base that is getting younger and there's more influx of people trying to watch who are younger, like I said, and they haven't even watched those guys. And then, like I said, this is the main part about it, too. This is like it's just as simple as this. Like, if you were keeping, like, ties to those old, like, the older history, whatever, and it was, like, it looked cool, we wouldn't care. The main thing is it doesn't look good. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. I don't care about the history. I don't care if, like, the history was the great. I don't care if they were the Lakers and they have 20 championships. It doesn't look good. It just doesn't. The Pistons logo is awful. I talked about it yesterday. The logo is literally a basketball with Detroit Pistons written on it. The creativity is going to knock me out this chair right now. I like, my God, you can't get any more creative than that. Like, are we joking right now? The logo is awful. It just is. It's one of I think it's the worst logo in the NBA. And you guys will like this, I think. The former host of this match, he tweeted out and tweeted at me over on Lockdown Pistons and said that he thinks it might be the worst logo in all of sports. That's how bad. This logo is awful. I'm sorry. There's no defending this. I don't care about your whole history BS. I don't care about any of that. The logo is awful. Literally, I'm not the most creative person. I'm not artistic. I'm not like, I can't come up with all this stuff like everyone else can. But I could even come up with a basketball with the Pistons written on it. Like, bro, are we joking? Like, it's just bad. I'm sorry. It just is. And that's just talking about the logo. You want to talk about the color scheme. I had a few people say they like the color scheme. The colors with the logo are actually fine. I like it, blah, blah. So then I replied with, like, this would be my reply to you guys is that, yeah, I mean, I guess the color scheme could be good if they actually did jerseys, like the alternate jerseys with the damn color scheme. We're getting gray jerseys. We're getting dark purple jerseys. We're getting black jerseys. Like, those aren't the colors with the logo, the color scheme. Where are these colors coming from? So that we're not even, like, using the color scheme. It's like all the jerseys have been trash. All of them are garbage. We're not even using the color scheme. So I'm not a big fan of the color scheme either, like, as of right now either. I think it's just boring. Like, I could get, like, if they incorporate more red, like, if they made the red the main color, for me personally, I'd mess with it. But, like, they don't even use red, barely ever. And then the alternate jerseys are all, like, random colors. And then I had someone say that the black ones are supposed to be, like, a throwback to the Bad Boys or something, or, like, the mentality of Detroit. Which, that's going to lead me into the second point that people keep, the ones who defend this, are keep using. But the Bad Boy part, like I said, the history, you can only keep using that history excuse for so long, man. Like, if the stuff looked good, we would not care. Like, there's a lot of people who agree with me about this. There's a lot of people who believe that the Pistons branding is trash. Like, if the stuff looked good, if the throwbacks to the Bad Boys looked good, we would not care. But it just doesn't. So then, if it's not going to look good, you can't then think it's going to be okay just because you're throwing it back. Like, I don't care. It looks like trash. Change it. And then the second point that I mentioned about the whole, oh, it's throwing to the mentality of Detroit. I think people really don't, like, fully understand the mentality of Detroit, like, the whole personality of Detroit and the people here. Like, I don't think people really understand it. Like, I get that, like, the Pistons have a bunch of people from outside Detroit, in Chicago, in places, in other cities. But, like, I'm telling you, like, I understand, like, the big, like, what's the word? Like, the common thought about Detroit is, like, oh, hard working, and we don't need credit for anything because we just put our head down and start working. I mean, yeah, but, like, that completely undersells what Detroit really is. Like, Detroit is incredibly creative, incredibly artistic, and, like, bro, it's Motor City, it's Motown. To just sum up Detroit to just, oh, we just put our heads down, so we don't need no creativity, we don't need no off the, like, top creativity with the colors, or, like, really nice, pretty jerseys or anything, because we don't really care about that, we just care about going to work and not getting credit for nobody. That's not true. Like, obviously, it's a blue-collar city, we do put our heads down and go to work, but we also are incredibly creative, incredibly beautiful, and with, like, nice things. We're, like, I don't get that. It's when people say that, it's like it's putting down the people and the personality of Detroit, to be honest. The personality of its people, the personality of the city itself. It's just, that's not how it goes. That's not how it is. It's not just full of people who put the hard work cap on and just go and start putting filling out the holes in the streets with cement, or, like, whatever you want, chuck it up to. Like, that's not what it is. Like, you walk down Detroit, you see a bunch of people on the side painting pictures, a bunch of people playing music with, I saw a video the other week with a guy playing, like, a whole song with a stick, a box, a water bottle, and, like all kinds of, like, Detroit is creative, it's beautiful. It's not just a bunch of people who, oh, let's just get black and white, let's just go ahead and just make it the most bland thing possible because we don't need no off-the-top stuff because we just put our head down. That resembles us. No, it doesn't. That's a lie. I'm tired of, like, continuing that lie. It's just not true about Detroit. That's not what they are. That's not what Detroit is. Not what the people of Detroit are. The people of Detroit are incredibly creative and beautiful. They are not just simply people who work and don't want no credit or don't want to be noticed or don't want to put any kind of, like, juice into things. That's the furthest thing from it. Detroit would love to put juice into things. So it's kind of like, for me, it's kind of disrespectful if that's, like, what their excuse is. I know that's not, like, what the Pistons are saying, but I know that's a lot of, like, what their defenders are saying. Like, if the Pistons were to come out and say that's, like, what their mentality is behind this thing, or, like, their branding team is, like, that's what they're going for, I honestly would find it really disrespectful. Because I feel like that just completely shoves out everything else Detroit is about and just only focuses on the part of, hey, we just shut up and do our work. Like, that, no, that's not what Detroit is, not what we are. I think it's really disrespectful, to be honest. So I can't go with that. And I think that the jerseys, the color schemes, the logos, the Pistons gear, it just doesn't match the city's personality because they're creative. They're fun. They like to put spin on things, juice into things. They're hip. They're cool. Like, and none of that stuff resembles anything about the Pistons branding. So they have to change it. I don't care. They have to. They got to do something, man. At least the logo. Like, I'm begging you, please. If you don't want to change the jerseys, okay, whatever, dude. You don't want to change the color scheme, okay, whatever, dude. But for God's sake, please change the logo. The logo is simply a basketball with Detroit on it. Not even the skyline of Detroit, like I talked about yesterday. That would at least be a little bit creative, I guess. But just Detroit Pistons and a basketball, like, come on, bro. It's just, oh, my God. But whatever. I mean, I guess that's all I got to say about that. The last thing I want to say is that I'm really, for me, it's just annoying. I won't say annoying because I get why people say it. But the whole Pistons, the Detroit just puts their head down and all that stuff that I just talked about, it just really is like, it's kind of like nerve-wracking to hear because I just feel like that's not what Detroit is at all. Like, it's not, like, not at all. Like, obviously, like I said, we are blue-collar city, we work hard, blah, blah, we come back up, we get knocked down, we get back up. But that doesn't mean that they also, like, it doesn't mean that they're also not creative and beautiful and cool and juiced up or hip or any of this other stuff. Like, you can have both things as well. And I feel like the Pistons branding team and a lot of people defending that have completely ignored that side just for it to be bland and fit that kind of attitude. And I just think it's off. But whatever. Like I said, coming up, we're going to talk about some of the things, like something I came up with today about small market teams that I didn't really think about before. And I think the NBA is going to have to answer it. And I'm going to talk about how it could affect the Pistons in the future. And, like, you guys are going to have to let me know what you guys think about it. But before we get to that, let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, BetOnline AG. Betting is now legal in Michigan. And if you're anything like me, you want to take advantage of that instantly. However, there was one problem I constantly ran into. There's just so many different apps to bet through. Which betting app is the best to use? That's when I found BetOnline AG, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL season might be over, but the NBA, MLB, and NHL are all still in full swing. If you want to take your ventures beyond sports, however, BetOnline has you covered there too. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, things I didn't even know you could bet on. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on just about anything you can imagine. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline now to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and make sure to use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So I hope you guys really stuck around for this part of the podcast, because this part, like, I know you guys saw me, like, listen to me rant about the Pistons ranting just now, and I know you guys think, well, that must be, like, the highlight of the episode. But no, I think this right here is what I really wanted to talk about. I really want to get all of you guys' thoughts about this. So all of you guys who listen, make sure to hit me up on Twitter, at CougarHillNBA, when you guys hear this part. Let me know what you guys think, because this is something I legit, me and my boys were talking about this earlier on Xbox. You guys don't want to work on Xbox, don't even try me. But we were talking about this, and it got brought up, and I was like, huh, that actually is a good point. Like, I wonder, like, how exactly this is going to work. So I'll throw it out to you guys, and make sure you guys let me know what you guys think and how you guys would solve it. So let's go ahead and go back, like, what is it now? Like, 15 years, I think, 14 years? So let's go back to, like, when LeBron was with Cleveland. So the big thing that was 2007 when he made the finals, I believe. I believe it's 2007 he made the finals with the Cavs. But either way, LeBron with the Cavs, he eventually leaves them in 2010. It was for the big decision, whatever. And the big thing that was talked about then was, oh, why did he leave? Why did he leave Cleveland? Whatever, blah blah blah. Like, why would he do that to them? That's his home city, whatever, all that stuff. And then, like, the main thing that people came away with it was that, you know, he would still be in Cleveland if they did a good job putting a team around him. And everyone pretty much agreed with that. I think a lot of, like, logical people, like, understood, like, yeah, Cleveland messed up. They didn't put a good team around him. He had to leave to go win somewhere else. Like, obviously. And then the whole thing with Anthony Davis happened. Let's fast forward now to Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis leaves the New Orleans Pelicans. People say, well, you know, New Orleans didn't really put a good team around him. I don't know if they put a poor team around him, but I guess they didn't do the best job of doing it. So he goes to LA. So then the big overarching point of all this is, I feel like a lot of people, when it comes to smart market teams and stars, they say, well, you know, you got their rookie contract, then basically the restricted free agent. And then you have that the years after that, which is usually like 6 or 7 years, to build a team around them. And if you don't build a good team around them, they're going to leave. That will be on you. You have to build a good team around them. And I've agreed with that to this point. I've actually agreed to that. However, I'm starting to think that that may be an old ideology. I don't know if that very much works now. And let me tell you guys why. So let's go ahead and use, I don't know, let's go ahead and use New Orleans, for example. Though I think, I'm not sure, I feel like New Orleans might be a bad example because Brandon Ingram's there and some people would call him a star, some people wouldn't. But if you do call him a star, then they already have two stars. So actually, no, I'm not going to use New Orleans. Forget that. We're not going to use New Orleans. Let's go ahead and just use Detroit off bat. And let's say the Pistons get Cade Cunningham. So, like, if the Pistons, how do I say this? So, like, even if the Pistons draft Cade Cunningham, and let's say they put a good team around him, like, I think that it's going to become a problem for small market teams. Like, even if you do put a good team around these guys, they're likely going to leave anyways, and here's why. Like, you could put a good team around Cade Cunningham. You could put a good team around, let's say, Zion. Let's take Brandon Ingram out of it. Let's just say you have Zion in New Orleans, and you actually put a good team around him. I'm starting to think that, like, with this new NBA, that's not going to be enough even then. Like, the only way you're really going to be able to compete for championships or be, like, a legit contender, you have to be able to attract multiple superstars. That's just what it is now. Like, you can't just, build a good, solid foundation of a team. And, I really believe that, like, the days of the going-to-work team of, like, having five good players and a really deep bench and play all together, you can beat the big juggernaut. Like, I think that's not happening again, dog. I'm sorry. It's not happening again. When you've got teams like Brooklyn running around, you have teams like the past years, Golden State Warriors walking around, you got teams like LA Clippers, the Lakers, the Nuggets. Like, when you got teams like this, that ain't happening. So I just don't think that's going to happen no more. So I think even though you build a good team around these guys, you can, like, do a great job drafting. You can draft a bunch of really good starters. You can sign a bunch of really good role players and have a really good team around, like, your core piece in a draft. But I'm starting to think that won't even be enough until you are able to attract superstars to come play with them. Because unless he has superstars to come play with them, he's not going to be a championship contender. He's not going to legit contend in the playoffs. And that's basically what all players care about now. So what are teams like Detroit? And as much as I love Detroit, as much as I was talking just now about how, like, the city of Detroit, how it's amazing, whatever. As much as I love the Pistons, no one's going to be coming to the Pistons as a free agent destination. It's just not going to happen like that. Like, their free agent destination is Jeremy Grant. And that was a pretty good pull for them. But, like I say, if you, like, look in the grander scheme of things, like, Jeremy Grant ain't matching up with LeBron pulling Anthony Davis or, like, the Brooklyn Nets pulling James Harden and Kyrie Irving and KD. Like, that's not matching up with that, dude. It's just not doing. It's not going. So, like, what do you do? Like, what do you do at that point, for real? Like, in past years, like I told you guys, I would agree with that whole, well, you could just build a good team around them. If you show that you are capable of building a good team around them, they'll stay. I agreed with that to a certain point. But now I'm starting to think that I just don't think that's really logical. Because players, unless you're able to attract a superstar, they're going to leave. Because you won't be able to contend without multiple superstars on your team. So what are smart markets supposed to do now? Especially if you combine that with the whole player power era, which I know everyone loves the player power era. Like, oh, all the power to the player, screw the owners, blah, blah. Like, I get it. But, like, what are smart market teams supposed to do now? Because not only can they build a good team around them and just not be good enough because they just don't attract superstars like that. They just don't. I'm sorry. Now you got players who are able, like, once that happens, they're able to just say, you know what? I don't want to play for you guys no more. And not only do I not want to play for you guys no more, I'm only going to this team and that team. If you don't trade me to either of those teams, I just won't play for them either. And now when he says that, those teams, you won't get no more bids from any other team. You're only going to get bids from that one team. And when they know that you only have bids from that one team, they're going to likely undersell you. They're going to undercut you. So now I feel like that, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and make it seem like I'm crying for small market teams. Because like I said before, like, maybe if I'm looking back on it, like, maybe the last few years, I was on board with the whole, oh, if you just build a good team around the guy, he'll stay. But I think we're in a new era with that whole thing just doesn't work. It's not true. And the thing is, the Supermax, I believe, was supposed to help smart market teams. I think it's actually done the reverse effect. It's not helping them. It's just not. And I think the best example, honestly, you have is Milwaukee. You got Giannis, who stayed in that small market. And listen, I'm not trying to, like, I know I made the funny tweet last year that, like, blew up about Chris Middleton being glorified KCP. Obviously, that's a little bit of a joke. Obviously, Chris Middleton's really freaking good. But let's just keep it a buck here. Chris Middleton's not James Harden. He's not KD. He's not Kyrie. He's not AD LeBron. Like, Giannis has a really good team in Milwaukee, but he doesn't have a super team. Like, the only way Milwaukee is contending is if Giannis plays out of his mind and his role players show up. And to be honest, in my opinion, the team they're going against has to play a little below their level. Like, if they go against Brooklyn, Brooklyn's going to have to play a little bit below their level for Milwaukee to beat them. That's just my opinion. Like, if the Brooklyn Nets are operating in all cylinders, like, they're just operating at high levels, like, Milwaukee's just not going to be able to beat them. No matter how good and deep their team is, and with Giannis and Chris Middleton, and now you got Drew Holiday, and you got all these other guys there to help out. Like, no matter what that is, I just don't think you're going to handle the Brooklyn Nets if they're operating on all cylinders. And you want to know why? Because Giannis doesn't have that other superstar with him. Like, as much as you guys love, I know there's few people in Pistons Twitter that love Chris Middleton for, like, I get it. He's not a superstar. So I think the same thing is kind of going on with Giannis. Like, I respect Giannis for staying. I respect it. But I'm struggling to see how he can legit win a champion. Like, he would have to play absurdly well. And I think the other teams would have to play, like, below their level. So I think that's, like, a main example. Another example, Damian Lillard in Portland. We all talk about, like, a lot of people talk about how much they love CJ. But CJ McCollum's not no superstar either. So Dame's down there with, he's a superstar, and what they've decided to do is overload an offense, try to outscore guys. They suck on defense, but they try to be as good on offense as possible, shoot as well as anybody, and just try to outscore you. And how many times has that worked out for them? Like, they had to have the most perfect break for that to happen in, what was it, 2 years ago? 3 years? What? No, 2 years ago when they made the Western Conference Finals, and then they got obliterated by Golden State. So it's just like, I'm starting to think that I just don't know. I don't know. I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't know how small market teams are really going to battle this. Like, I think the best way, like, the only way in my head that I can see how they can, like, win out here is if you draft multiple superstars. Like, you'd have to hit on superstars in multiple drafts. Like, because, like I'm saying, like, to keep it a buck with Detroit, I don't see no superstar being attracted to Detroit, like, getting drafted, or not drafted, but signed over here in free agency. Like, the Pistons may get Kay Cunningham. Let's say they get him and he turned out to be that superstar. How are they getting that next superstar? Like, they can build a good team around him. They can have, like, Milwaukee and like Portland does. But they won't be championship contenders legit as long as you've got teams walking around like Brooklyn and L.A. And it's just like, I don't see how small market teams are going to combat that. So if you guys have an idea, if you guys disagree or agree with me, let me know. But if you guys have like an answer to that, let me know. Because I'm honestly confused about it. Like I said, I want to make sure I let this know. I was on board with that whole, you know, just build a good team around, they'll stay. But I don't think that's the case anymore. So now I'm legit confused. I don't know. Like, I'm like, as I'm talking right now, I'm trying to think of like a scenario where that could work. But really, the only scenario I can think of is if you pull off like multiple drafts with superstars. I mean, I guess maybe one other way I can think of, I just thought about this, that one other way I guess you can say is if you get your one superstar through the draft and then you just stockpile a bunch of assets through the draft or like other ways, like develop good guys and then just throw like six of them to get like another superstar. But then at that point, you're like completely destroyed your rotation. Now you have two superstars and nothing else. I don't think that works either. So it's just like tough. It's really tough. Like, teams in big markets obviously are going to have the advantage here. And obviously, they're always going to have that advantage. But now I feel like more than ever, it's going to be even tougher for small market teams to do anything. Like, for example, San Antonio. Is San Antonio a big market? I wouldn't consider it. Is it a huge market? Like, off the dome, I wouldn't call it that. But they had Tim Duncan all the years. David Robinson got hurt that one year. They lucked into Tim Duncan. Then Tim Duncan stayed good for like 20-something years. And what happened? They hit on draft picks. They hit on Tony Parker. They hit on Manu at like, what, 57? What was it? He drafted 57, 47 or something? Then they hit on Kawhi at 15. What was it? Yeah, 15, right? So, like, unless you, like, that's the best way I can think of is that you hit on multiple stars through drafts, like late in drafts. That's the best way I can think about it. And that right there is extremely tough to ask teams to do. So, I don't know. If you guys have your own input on, like, how the NBA could help small market teams, or you guys could even let me know if you guys think that small market teams don't need any help. I'm just crying a little bit over here. Let me know. It's honestly a fun topic for me. Like, I just talked for, like, 10 minutes, I think. It's a really interesting topic, and I honestly, like I said, I don't know. So let me know what you guys think over on Twitter, at KookieHillNBA. But that's all I've got for you guys today. Today, the Pistons, wait, no, not today. Tomorrow, they play their second-to-last game. So make sure you guys watch these final two games. You guys are going to miss Pistons basketball, admit it. Even though they've been bad this year, once the season ends, you guys are going to be like, damn, the season went by. Now I have to wait a few more months just to even see any kind of Pistons basketball. You guys are going to miss it. So make sure you guys watch the final two games before you don't get any for the next few months. But until the next podcast, thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody.